Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you today?
We are, my friend. We are.
We certainly are. Today and every day hereafter.
It's called eternal life.
It is, and I like it a lot. Your new article, I Still Don't Know Squat. How about you? We're continuing on with quantum mechanics, Newtonian physics, and spiritual healing, and how they all work together. I don't know. But then again, I just confessed I don't know squat, so I guess that's perfectly natural, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess the only thing that excites me is the fact that I look at a lot of other people who are purported experts in all kinds of things, and I don't think they know squat either, so it's fine.
But they know how to guess and explain their guesses really well.
Oh, okay. Me too.
Me too. And that's what I do. I'm just guessing, and I'm going to learn how to express my guess to the best of my ability, and hopefully people will go along with my guess.
Ah.
If I can get enough people to go along with my guessing, then it might actually come true. What do you think?
And there you have it.
Isn't that quantum physics?
That's it. That's the degree of my knowledge.
It seems in this article you're just jumping down my throat here. Ignorance and fear. Huh? Are you suggesting that every time I want to argue with you, I'm arguing out of my ignorance and fear?
Well, as a matter of fact, I wasn't thinking of you. I was thinking of a few recent emails.
Well, I argue with you too, so I guess that puts me in the same category as the other people who are arguing with you. They're ignorant and a bunch of ignorant scaredy cats.
Well, you're just full of it. They just have ignorance and fear problems.
I'm full of it. No, that's what you are. Since here, a little further down, arrogance. Condescending and arrogant. So who's full of themselves? You are, my friend. You are.
Okay.
I find it interesting. You know, I would agree with you that typically can't say that I can't say that I always argue out of ignorance and fear. Perhaps, maybe on a deeper level, I'm afraid that I'm wrong, so I argue with you. You know, I mean, but I have to go pretty deep to get to that conclusion. Is everyone who argues basing their arguments on ignorance and fear? Or are they just holding on to their position tight?
No. Well, you have to know where I'm coming from with that remark.
Okay.
And it certainly wasn't directed at you. But it's directed at those who not only think I'm wrong, they think I'm arrogant. And my point was in there that I was getting to, and as you know, sometimes it takes me a while to get to my point, like it is right now as I'm stumbling along here. The point is, look, I saw it so clearly. The religious of Jesus' day accused him of all kinds of things, to which he finally got to the point, and I think that's recorded in Mark, that he said, you know, when you argue against the Spirit of God, it's the only time that it's the only, remember, it's the only sin that will never be forgiven. And if what I'm putting forth in this article today, Mr. Bruce, is, if it does come from our spirit parent, then who in blazes are you arguing with? Who are you calling arrogant? That was all. And I don't claim to know anything. What I do is almost automatic writing at times.
Well, maybe the arrogance that's being referred to is your arrogance that you claim to hear and speak for the source.
Hey, again, go get your own. I don't claim to do anything but share what I'm getting from the source and saying to you, whoever you may be, you can go direct and get yours as well. The only thing I'll share with you about how I go there is what I call the Brad Cullen approach. We got that out of you and I hassling back and forth. But that's all. I'm not claiming it's the end of anything. I'm not claiming it's anything other than what I'm getting from Spirit. I totally believe that's where it's coming from. And if you don't believe that, maybe you have a problem, not I.
So arrogance. Let's you know, people who listen to your conversation and read your article and go, oh, that arrogant SOB, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking. He's God doesn't wouldn't talk to a sinner like that. You know, arrogance or an accusation of a judgment against somebody can come from two different places. It can come from either fear and ignorance that you've suggested, most likely fear, and the second place being recognition of a spirit that you also have danced with, the spirit of arrogance, so to speak, right?
Oh, yes, could be.
So a person calling you arrogant may not necessarily be anything more than a recognition of their own predilection towards pontification, or as you put it, waxing eloquently.
Well, and I hope I meant to qualify the statement when I wrote it by saying some of you. I have a little weasel clause in there. Maybe some people are correctly sensing that I'm still carrying a spirit of arrogance around on my shoulder. So
yeah. Well, we all carry some of it for some subjects, at least, I'm sure. A little bit further down in the article, you say, I don't know squat, and that's the beginning of true knowledge and wisdom, the righteousness of and from the source. Now, according to the Old Testament, it says that fear is the beginning of all wisdom. So now you're saying acknowledging that you don't know anything is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Are you in conflict with this spiritual wisdom that is supposedly passed on to us in the Psalms, or what?
Well, I think there's a parallel passage. In fact, I think there's a couple of parallel passages in the New Testament that say the same thing. You know, I don't know about the word in Hebrews. I think you're quoting probably from Psalms.
Yeah.
Were you? Okay.
Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding.
Well, I know in the parallel passage in the New Testament in Greek, I don't profess to be a Greek scholar either. However, I did do a word study in depth and came away with some very good news. The word doesn't mean fear, as you're using the word, as I think you might be using the word. Maybe you're not. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But what it means is awe. It's awe-inspiring, that being in awe of God and seeing the wonder and beauty of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the word original means in the New Testament. I'm not sure. I would have to poke around and see what the Hebrew. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, when I first stumbled on that particular passage in Psalms, I went to my pastor at that time, and he told me that that's how I was to approach God, if I were approaching him as in fear and trembling, and he pointed me to another scripture that mumbled on about fear and trembling before the Lord. He even supported what he was saying with another passage.
No, what is your conclusion about that today?
What it was at the time was that it doesn't seem very logical, if you're going to approach somebody and have a relationship with them, that fear be a good starting place. As a matter of fact, most of the people, and these are people, mind you, that I've been afraid of, I certainly didn't even approach them at all. I stayed far away from them. You know, like my mom said, don't walk in that neighborhood after dark. Okay, I won't.
You know what just came to me about that?
What?
It doesn't necessarily mean I'm afraid of the person, but I might be afraid of their reaction, and I don't feel like getting involved with somebody who explodes and goes all over the place in whatever direction. In that would be fear as well, that would help me avoid the relationship. So anyway.
Well, I don't know. I think it's wise to fear somebody who could flood the entire earth, kill every man, woman, and child save for one family, command the genocide of several races because they live in a particular plot of land. I think it'd be a good idea to fear that fella.
Love it. Love it. Yes, now we get back to something I wrote a long time ago. Not that I'm in love with what I write necessarily. However, which God?
Yeah, I like that old writing, Witch God. That's a good one. But let's move on in this one. You're making a strong statement against a couple of what I'm going to call tenets in the Christian faith. Two of them that I'm reading in your article is, I only have one thing to offer anyone. Christ died for me, period. I don't think the period was involved in the scriptural reference that you're paraphrasing here, but I think it's Paul who said that in one of his letters. And then there's another one, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, I think that's another Paul statement too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm not taking on Paul. I'm not taking on either of the guys. Both guys who made those statements right in the same time frame were really impressed me because they were made out of humility. I've just come to believe that that's false humility. And well, I think I say somewhere in the article, and both those statements leave nowhere.
Yeah, that's exactly what you say. And so, in essence, you're saying that, well, while they sound nice, they don't go anywhere and they're useless. But yeah, most Christians hold on to these things really tight.
Yeah. And Ryan, would you like to know why I say that?
Okay. I'd like to know.
I say that because Jesus points to a destiny for anyone who believes enough. And that is, it's twofold. One thing is, nothing will be impossible to you if you believe enough. Two, if you believe enough, you'll do everything he did and more of it. That's what I have to offer. That's a lot bigger and a lot better. It's the promises that came right out of Jesus' mouth. And it seems to me rather silly that the religion who claims its namesake is Jesus makes limiting statements like, well, I don't have anything to offer you, but Jesus died for me. Period.
Well, somehow I don't think he said it like that.
I'm the guy that said it did. I'm not saying Paul said it that way.
Okay, you're referring to the person who's using it as a shield.
I was speaking in the basement, no less, of a Baptist church. And there was a group of people there, I don't know, 40 or 50 people there that had come to listen to good old Brad pontificate. And I saw one guy in there that I knew by appearance, but I had never met him. And he was there looking very rapt, with rapt attention at what I was saying and nodding his head appreciatively. And therefore I felt I could approach him, and when I did, I said, you know, I've heard so much about you. His nickname was Smokey, by the way, and just, he was known as a very, you know, one of the heavy-duty Christians of the little town, and that he's the one that said, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, brother. You know. So, there you go. But the humility struck me, and I like not knowing squat, because I don't have to know squat, because I'm connected with the creator of the universe who has all knowledge, and you, dear brothers and sisters, can be connected there too.
Well, hold on a second. I'm sensing somewhat of a conflict here. You're, at one point, you're, on one hand, you're saying that this Smokey fella is expressing false humility, and yet the title of your article isn't that different. I don't know squat. Well, this guy knows one thing more than you, that Christ died for him, so, you know, like, well, does that mean you're more humble than he is? Is this a competition in how to self-debase?
You always figure a way how to poke a jibe at me, don't you? You just won't leave it alone. You saw an opening, and I walked into it, and then you were standing behind the door with a sledgehammer, and ba-boom, you got me.
Well, I think there's one thing clear that's clear about your article is anyone who makes these self-abasing comments is really probably the most arrogant of us all.
Oh boy. Okay. further. Now he's just clubbed me over the head with a sledgehammer. Now the knife is being twisted in my rear end. Okay.
Knife, please. No. I'm carving out your heart with a spoon, my friend.
Okay. Wait a minute. But the article is trying to bring a very key point of quantum mechanics into spirituality, and instead you're mucking around out in the hinterland there.
Okay, well, I'll let you off the hook then, Brad. And here's where you let yourself off the hook, that both of these quotes, and I'm going to say not just both, all three quotes, which would include the one about you not knowing squat, embody limits.
Yep.
Yeah, and that is the power of this article for me, is that you're pointing out that a lot of times when we make statements like this, we're actually taking on limitations that are not true, as long as we're connected to the source.
You know, I'd never thought of it that way until this moment. That's fantastic. You did it again. Wonderful. That's truth. Because the source is the source of all knowledge, and if we keep at it long enough, the promise is you're going to get it.
And the promise is that I can live without limits, too.
Well, you know, you think of what I'm getting to in this article, and it's a mind blower. I'm not doing it. Obviously, it's so far over my head. There goes another self-effacing remark, because it isn't over my head because I'm connected. But nonetheless, it's like holy mackerel. We are on the cutting edge of the end days, whatever that means, only because all knowledge is really coming around us and upon us in such a wide variety of ways. It's just exciting and amazing. What a time to live, huh?
It sure is, and I sure am enjoying it. But what I really like is this freedom term that you're giving that I think is connected directly to not embodying limits, and that is your answer. And that one word, neutrinos. Oh, my gosh. Neutrinos. Wow, was that a powerful one for me. I got down towards the last quarter of this article, and I read that phrase, and it struck me like a baseball bat in the head. Neutrinos. Now, I'm going to first let you explain what it means to you, and then maybe I'll add my own version of what it meant to me, because it could mean anything to anybody's, right? But nonetheless, it's special, so please, you go first.
Well, the only thing is I was asking Dad, you know, am I really supposed to go down this line of spirituality being equal to quantum mechanics? And I got this definite yes, and okay, you know, I'm open. And then, well, but, you know, what does it mean? Where is it? And neutrinos. I had not even consciously heard of a neutrino until that moment. I'm sure I had because, as I've said, I was, you know, participating in a discussion in a community college class that called Deep Thinking, which had to do with quantum mechanics and astrophysics and all kinds of stuff. And so you can't deal with those things without hearing the word neutrinos, I'm sure. But it never registered. I never before, and also the college professor I tout every now and then, Leonard Susskind from Stanford, uses it in his book, Black Hole War. And so I have heard it before, but it never registered in a way, because to me it was just, you know, quarks and leptons and neutrinos and all this stuff. Who cares? You know.
So what does it mean to you, brother? What does it mean?
A neutrino is a neutral, the word itself, it's an Italian word that Enrico Fermi dubbed, meaning the little neutral one. To me, a neutrino, what I recall, is that it's a particle that is without an electric charge. It's neutral. It, you know, it goes close or at the speed of light. Very fascinating little item in the makeup of the whole universe. So what does it mean to you?
What it means to me is exactly that. The no charge means that we're not to have a charge against anyone. And when I say charge, what do I mean by that? I mean some form of judgment.
Oh, wow.
That's what I got from neutrino, and well, oh, wow, it's right, and we can float freely at the speed of light through the universe without ever bumping into any obstacles if we have no charge.
Ooh, that's a little deep. Let me say something. Because what really got to me was the fact that a neutrino, there are millions of them, flow through us. They go right through us. What I was equating with it was spirit, and which would fall right in line with what you just said, which is spirit. When you are filled with spirit, judgment goes away because you can't judge.
Because you see,
so what? Are you arguing with me again?
I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful word. You know, I always find it amazing how Dad can just drop one word or one image into our mind that means so much and can carry us one step further in the direction we're supposed to go. And this no judgment, no charge, neutrality of traveling through the universe at the speed of light is just what a fantastic concept and a very exciting way of looking at something that we all need to grasp deeper. Hold on to, and that is no charge. So, Brad, why don't we move on to the next step? What's next?
Let me send you whatever I get.
Look forward to it excitedly as usual. Have a great day. Love ya. Talk to you again.
Hey, back at ya.